Hi everyone, welcome back to Daily Gospel Exegesis Podcast. We're looking today at a reading that will be quite familiar to you. It's a short, simple one, and it appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. This is the reading you would hear today at Mass. After Jesus had come down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A leper now came up and bowed low in front of him. "Sir," he said, "if you want to, you can cure me." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "Of course I want to. Be cured." And his leprosy was cured at once. Then Jesus said to him, "Mind you do not tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and make the offering prescribed by Moses as evidence for them." So a nice short reading today. This begins a new section of the Gospel of Matthew. If you've been following us in the weekday cycle, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7. We're now beginning the next section of Matthew, with chapters 8 and 9, and that describes a whole series of healings that Jesus performed early in his ministry. So Matthew wants his readers to understand that the kingdom is not just about teachings, it can also involve physical healings. And also Matthew wants to emphasize the kind of people who are invited into the kingdom. In the coming chapters, we'll see some quite surprising people from a Jewish perspective as to who Jesus allows into the kingdom. And in a sense, what we're going to see is Jesus and the apostles beginning to fulfill the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, and in particular, the teaching to be a light to the world, because they're going to bring in Gentiles, they're going to bring in lepers. So that process of bringing people or showing people the light of the kingdom is beginning. So in the next couple of chapters, we're going to see 10 miracles, and they're presented in three groups. Between the three groups, there's these short interludes about discipleship. The miracles portray Jesus bringing into the world a kind of divine holiness that overpowers the causes of defilement. So he's going to overpower sin, disease, he's going to overpower demons, and he's even going to overpower death in the coming chapters. Matthew is probably emphasizing these 10 miracles because he's writing to a Jewish audience, and the Jews, especially the Pharisees, considered those defiled by things like sin and leprosy to be unclean and untouchable. Jesus here is going to take the initiative, and he's going to take offensive stance against evil through his words and even through his physical touch. So he's going to heal all the effects of sin that the Jewish mind at the time was quite repelled by. Jesus is going to cleanse those things and show those people that they are also welcome in the kingdom. So verse 1, after Jesus had come down from the mountain, so after the Sermon on the Mount of chapters 5 to 7, so Matthew depicts it as though this next scene happens straight after, although it may not have happened straight after, though certainly within a short time frame. Notice that phrase, Jesus comes down from the mountain. That echoes Exodus chapter 34, which describes Moses descending from Mount Sinai. And some scholars have pointed this out. Just as Moses went up the mountain to receive the old law, and then he came down the mountain to deliver the Ten Commandments, here Jesus goes up the mountain in Galilee to receive the new law, and in fact to give the new law in the Sermon on the Mount, and then he comes down from the mountain to perform 10 miraculous actions that reveal the nature of the kingdom he announces. So some scholars think there's a deliberate thing here that Matthew's setting up where Moses shows the kingdom of God in his time period through 10 commandments. And now Jesus is going to, as he comes down the mountain, present the 10 healings which reveal the kingdom. So that's interesting. It says large crowds followed him. So picture this, there's huge crowds following. He's got a huge amount of followers in the Galilee region already this early on. And a leper approaches him. So what is a leper? A leper referred to a range of skin conditions, usually involving bacterial infections of some kind, and they caused skin disfigurement, loss of limbs, and even blindness. So very serious bacteria, and biologists these days are able to group together all of these bacteria that can cause what they regarded as leprosy. But in that culture, because there was no antibiotics, having leprosy was basically a death sentence in that society. People with leprosy were outcasts. They were put in compounds away from the general population so that they couldn't infect people. And that was actually commanded in the Old Testament law in Leviticus 13. It says that lepers have to be put apart from society for medical reasons, to protect people medically, but also ritually. Lepers were considered to be ritually unclean, and they were not allowed to defile other people and make them ritually unclean. So leprosies could not participate in public life or worship. And in fact, if someone was approaching a leper, the leper had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," if they're coming near to others. So that was the kind of life they lived. It was not a pleasant life. They were almost at the bottom of Jewish society. They were outcasts, and not because of anything they did. It was just an unfortunate lot in life. So the leper comes up and bows low in front of him, or more literally, he kneels before Jesus. So this man is desperate. He's heard a lot about Jesus, and he knows about his power to heal. That's pretty bold, because lepers are not supposed to approach people, but here he's approaching Jesus, and he says, "Sir," or "Lord," and in this case, he doesn't mean to say that he's God, but he acknowledges that Jesus is a rabbi or a teacher from God. He says, "If you want to, you can cure me." So this is very humble from the leper. The leper believes that Jesus can heal, but he's not demanding it. He's saying, "Jesus, you must heal me." He's not saying that. He's saying, "If you want to, you can cure me." So he already believes Jesus possesses the ability to heal him. But in his humility, he implicitly asks whether Jesus wants to exercise his divine power to make him clean. So he's showing Jesus great reverence and respect. Now, more literally, the Greek here that we have as "you can cure me," it actually is "you can make me clean." So the man's deepest desire is to be free, not only from the biological effects of the disease, but so he can be ritually clean. He can partake again in worship. That's the man's desire. So certainly this is a faithful man. This man is being particularly bold, remember, because he's not supposed to approach people. But he has great faith in Jesus, so he does approach Jesus. At this point, the other Gospels tell us that Jesus is moved with pity, though Matthew doesn't include that here. Verse 3, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, for most people, that would be a great risk, to touch a leper. You can imagine his apostles being quite shocked that Jesus would even think about reaching out to him. And we know that Jesus has the ability to heal from a distance. He does that in other cases with lepers, but here he actually chooses to make physical contact. From a Jewish perspective, Jesus contacting the leper should have made Jesus ritually unclean. But here we see the opposite happen. Jesus' holiness transforms the uncleanness of the man and makes him clean, rather than the other way around. And that's quite amazing. Jesus says, "Of course I want to be cured," or more literally, "I will be cured." Jesus never refuses healing for anyone who asks during his ministry. And his leprosy was cured at once, or more literally, his leprosy was cleansed. This is probably visible to the crowds as well. They would have seen some sort of physical healing take place in this man. And that would have been an amazing sight to see. Matthew here wants his readers to understand that Jesus can remove defilement from anyone who approaches him in faith. That's probably one of the messages Matthew wants to get across. And that applies to us today as well. If we approach Jesus in faith, we should have faith that Jesus does want to heal us, and he does have the power to heal us. He then says this enigmatic phrase, "Mind you do not tell anyone." Now, this is emphasized a lot in the Gospel of Mark. At this early stage in his ministry, Jesus often says things like, "Don't tell anyone." And the reason appears to be that Jesus has to be careful that word doesn't spread about him too quickly. He doesn't want word, particularly in Galilee, to spread about him too quickly. He has a timeline of when he needs to die. And if word about him spreads too quickly, things could get out of hand and he might be arrested a bit too early. Instead, he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." The Old Testament requires that a leper who claims to be healed of leprosy has to first be inspected by a priest, and the priest has to make the judgment and confirm that the leper is healed before he could be readmitted back into public society and back into worship. So Jesus actually tells him here, go and fulfill what is required in the Jewish law. And that actually tells us a lot about Jesus' attitude towards the law. He has not come to abolish it. Of course, that's emphasized in the Sermon on the Mount. And in particular, Jesus says, "Go and make the offering prescribed by Moses as evidence for them." So according to the law of Moses, and this is actually specified really clearly in Leviticus 14, if a priest declares the leper cured, then the leper has to do some sort of sacrifice depending on his ability. And usually that meant taking two clean birds, one to be sacrificed and the other to be dipped in the blood of the first. Bit of a strange ritual, but that's what they required in order to be welcomed back into ritual worship. And apparently the Jews in Jesus' time were still following that requirement. So we know from the other Gospels that at this point, the man started talking about it freely and telling the story everywhere. Even though Jesus told him not to do that, that's exactly what he does do. Now, let's turn to the Catechism. Do we have any references to Matthew chapter 8 in the Catechism? There's one in the discussion about the word Lord, because the leper here calls Jesus Lord. And here's what it says. Very often in the Gospels, people address Jesus as Lord. This title testifies to the respect and trust of those who approach him for help and healing. At the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Lord expresses the recognition of the divine mystery of Jesus. In the encounter with the risen Jesus, this title becomes adoration, my Lord and my God. It thus takes on a connotation of love and affection that remains proper to the Christian tradition. It is the Lord. So we'll leave it there for today. That's the only catechism reference we have. Thanks for listening and tune in again tomorrow as we continue in the Gospel of Matthew.